Hi, I'm Tim Kenalty.
And I'm Jean Thomas.
And welcome to Nature Calls, Conversations from the Hudson Valley.
And our guest today is Christy Sullivan. Christy's the director of the...
In 2022, four master gardeners were looking for a new way to bring their expertise to our region. And they did so with a weekly podcast on everything from honeybees to hydrangeas, perennials and pollinators, monarchs, chickens, seeds, goats, and houseplants. And with 119 episodes and counting since that 2022 launch, the seed for this podcast was planted in the midst of the American Civil War. I'll explain how that germinated right after this.
CatsCast is supported by The Mountain Eagle, covering Delaware, Greene, and Schoharie counties, including brands for the local region such as the Windham Weekly, Schoharie News, Cobleskill Herald, and Catskills Chronicle. For more information, call 518-763-6854 or email mountaineaglenews@gmail.com. And by Briars and Brambles Books, the go-to independent book and gift store in the Catskills. Located in Windham, New York, right next to the pharmacy, just steps away from the Windham Path. Open daily. For more information, visit briarsandbramblesbooks.com or call 518-750-8599.
...160 years before Nature Calls recorded its first conversation, Abraham Lincoln signed the Morrill Land Grant College Act of 1862, setting aside federal lands to create colleges to benefit the agricultural and mechanical arts. 25 years later, the Hatch Act of 1887 provided land grant institutions with funding for agricultural research. The Smith-Lever Act of 1914 took that a step further, establishing a system of cooperative extension services for the benefit of the public. Here in New York, you've probably heard of, and maybe even consulted with, a Cornell Cooperative Extension, or CCE. That's because Cornell is New York's land-grant university with satellites in every county. Community outreach and engagement is a tenet of land-grant university extensions like Cornell's, and at their Columbia and Greene County Division, that outreach includes weekly conversations on the Nature Calls podcast. The producers invited me to a recording session on CCE's Hudson campus, where we interviewed each other about our respective podcast series, and I didn't even have to unpack my recording equipment, since their mics were already set up, with Nature Calls engineer Linda Eidlett at the controls. On today's CatsCast, hear from four master gardeners using podcasts to bring gardening, ecology, and nature to Hudson Valley listeners. I'm here with master gardeners Jean Thomas, Teresa Golden, Linda Eidlett, and Robin Smith, from the Cornell Cooperative Extension of Columbia and Greene Counties. And they have a podcast along with Tim Kenalty and Annie Skubinski called Nature Calls, Conversations from the Hudson Valley. Thank you for hosting me in your studio. We're sitting at a buffet table here with some nice podcasting equipment. Tell me a little bit about why you decided to create a podcast in the first place, and what are some of the challenges and joys of putting that media out into the world to tell your story.
Well, we started with a radio show, Jean and I, called Digging In with Master Gardeners. And we were doing that for about a year. I think it was a monthly, if I recall, show. And then COVID hit, and we couldn't get back into the studio, obviously. And so a bunch of us got together, as Tim, Jean, me and Linda, and we said, okay, how do we keep the momentum going? Because the Master Gardeners couldn't get together. And so we said, we've got to figure out a safe way that we can still enjoy each other's company, do what we love, yet also be safe. And so we bounced around a couple of ideas and ultimately decided that a podcast was a better way to go. And then we were looking to figure out whether we should go out on our own or stay with Cornell Cooperative Extension. And we concluded that because our topic was focused on nature, we were better off under the stewardship of Cornell Cooperative Extension, which is really focused on disseminated science-based information. And so that kind of was the beginning.
So who learned how to podcast?
Teresa and Tim and I were sitting around talking, saying, gee, who would be the best one to figure out how to podcast? And unanimously, in chorus, the three of us said, Linda.
Linda, who's not on a microphone right now, but she's hovering over the little recording device that's capturing all of our voices. Oh, okay. A mic has been passed.
Hi.
Hello, Linda.
So I was invited in to do the technical stuff, which actually, when I think about it, I'm not sure how they knew I did technical stuff, because we never did technical stuff before. So maybe they could answer that.
It mostly has to do with the fact that Linda can do anything.
Well, I did have a background in doing this, but it was decades ago. So it was with garage bands and disco dances and stuff like that.
So you record, and then Teresa, you edit?
Linda and I both take turns editing. So it really depends on what the episode is and how interested we're in it, and who's got the more time at any given time. So it takes time. There's times where she does all the editing, and there's times that I take on more of the editing. So, but she does all the intros and the outros and all the segues, and she worries about that kind of stuff.
Now, I noticed that your announcer is really silky toned and very consistent. Can you tell me about your announcer, who is one of the reasons that the voiceover industry is dying, Linda?
yes, a lot of other industries are going to die too with this. It's artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
We did sort of interview or did test different voices to do voiceovers, and just weren't finding anything quite right.
Yeah.
And I just stumbled on this one voice from this one company and said, that's it. And we just type in the intro and put in some inflection, punctuation, and out comes the audio.
Welcome to Nature Calls, conversations from the Hudson Valley. Our team's goal is to present science-based information about gardening and all things nature in New York's Hudson Valley.
Well, he's pretty good, but I'm glad that he doesn't have a major role in this show. I'm glad that humans are behind most of it.
Oh, absolutely. It's just to do the redundant over and over, material.
So let's back up a little bit before the podcast. The content itself is all about gardening in the Hudson Valley and the Catskills, right? So can you tell me a little bit about, you're all master gardeners. What does that mean?
Gardening is kind of limiting. We're trying to keep it nature calls and expand it, because as master gardeners, we get into so many fields beyond just being out doing veggies and flowers and stuff. We're interested in all facets of nature. Cooperative Extension does education in a tremendous amount of things. They do forestry education. They have master foresters, not just master gardeners. Linda's a master beekeeper. Teresa's a master forest owner, right? And Tim's a master naturalist. There's a whole set of categories, and it's not just gardening. The range is vast, and the personnel as Master Gardener volunteers is the most amazing assortment of people with the most amazing outreach and interests and contacts that we've been reaching out to PBS show people. We've been reaching out to authors of some really big title books, and much to our amazement, they're saying, sure, we'll come be on your podcast. So the core, though, of the master gardener expertise is vast. It's not just gardening.
What does it take to be a master in any of these areas? Is there a curriculum? Are there tests? How do you get this illustrious badge?
When I took the training back in 2005, it was a 13-week program where you learned all different types of topics. And a lot of it was a refresher of what you learned back in school. That's like, oh, plant pathology, it's been a long time. Botany, I haven't thought about that in a while. A lot of things about insects, a lot of things about wildlife. And you take all the classes, and then basically you have about 75 hours that we have to give back every year as a volunteer. I think everybody in this room gives back way more than the 75 hours a year. But we do things that we love.
Well, this podcast takes you more than 75 hours a year, I would imagine.
Easily.
And that's giving back to the community because you're disseminating that information that people want to hear.
Easily. But we get involved in the county fairs. Mm-hmm. We have a spring gardening day or spring gardening days where we basically do a lot of education and dissemination. We participate or show up at a lot of farmers markets. And so there's a variety of different activities that are involved, and people do what they love.
What's your relationship with the Cornell Cooperative Extension?
They love us.
How are you affiliated with them? Is there an official relationship?
Yeah, the Master Gardener Volunteers are, there's an official affiliation. Mm-hmm. To become a Master Gardener Volunteer, you have to go through the training and you abide by Cornell's rules. Mm-hmm. And work with them to get back to the community.
Is the Master Gardener program a Cornell program?
Yes.
I see.
Well, it's part of there's a land grant program across the United States that started with Abraham Lincoln. And so every state has a land grant university. And then within New York, it's Cornell University. And then they have, every county has their own cooperative extension. And so our extension happens to cover two counties, both Columbia and Greene counties.
So Cornell is responsible for covering New York State and all its counties?
That's correct.
And every state has thanks to Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, Penn State University mm-hmm. covers Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. University of Maine covers Maine. Mm-hmm. So I think it's Rutgers covers Jersey.
And it's an educational outreach to the residents of each state.
Right. The whole purpose is to educate the community about the natural environment. Mm-hmm. Now, Cornell here has a natural resources group. They've got the horticulture group. They've got a nutrition group as well, which is equally important.
4-H.
And 4-H.
4-H, yeah. Of course, is huge. So that's what a lot of the involvement in the county fair is, just through the 4-H unit.
And what was the Cornell Cooperative Extension of Columbia and Greene's response to you wanting to do a podcast through, I mean, how much involvement is there between what you're doing in the podcast and the organization itself? Do they fund this in any way, this equipment? Did you have to buy
this
yourself?
The equipment belongs to them. Mm-hmm. And we went on a road trip, and they did cover some of the expenses. We went out to Ithaca for 3 days and interviewed. How many interviews did we get? 9 or 10?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they're encouraging.
Great.
And they give us a recording studio, such as it is, in each county, so that when we invite people to come, we can usually invite them to the closer county of the two, because there's quite a difference mile-wise between the two.
So you have a rotating series of studio spaces that you use,
yeah,
conference rooms and whatever happens to be available in each location,
whatever's open,
like this room
day.
We're in right now.
Yes.
Is there any oversight on the topics, the material?
We sent it to Cornell to review, mm-hmm. to make sure that we follow all the guidelines. But normally, if there's any modifications, they're minor. They all occasionally suggest people for us to interview, mm-hmm. But fairly, they give us pretty free range.
And you also, Gene, write a column for the Mountain Eagle.
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of disseminating information in various ways.
Yeah, it's kind of an outgrowth. It's a chat column. And I try to refer back to an episode from the podcast. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anybody pays attention, but I'm always putting links in.
Yeah, I noticed it.
Oh, there you go. Good.
And your list of ideas, do you have any danger of running out?
No, absolutely not. We've got enough product in the bucket right now that we're, what, several months ahead?
Wow.
So an interview today won't show up for about 8 weeks, maybe. On good days, we can do 5 interviews, which is 5 weeks. Early on, we didn't know what length interview was going to be ideal. So they would vary drastically. So to fill the half hour that we were aiming for, we taped about a dozen different series of what we called podlets. So there'd be a, like, maybe 3-minute piece filler. But there was a series of 12 of them. Linda did one on beekeeping from the bees' viewpoint. 3 episodes. Teresa did a series on vegetable gardening that ended up also 3. And what other ones do we do?
Pests and Pathogens is coming up. It's going to be 3 episodes as well. Mm.
And they were fillers, but now they're whole units on their own. Mm-hmm. And they're even better as clusters than they were as little fragments. So we could keep expanding what we have.
And so you bring in a number of guests, experts in their fields. Mm-hmm. Right before I sat down, you were interviewing 2 experts on spongy moths, mm-hmm. formerly known as gypsy moths, who gave lots of information on that, I understand. So,
oh, they're fascinating.
Yeah. So how do you, as you said, guests are not shy about coming on, right?
No. Yeah.
Most people who are passionate about what they do want to tell people about it.
And the beauty of that, not only are they passionate to the point where they will drive to the middle of where they have no idea where they're going, but they're always, almost invariably eloquent mm-hmm. because they're passionate about what they're talking about. Of course, at the level of PhD college professors who've written books, you know, they can find it easy to be very eloquent.
Yeah.
A lot of these folks will find by listening to webinars or, you know, pursuing topics that of individual interest. So the fact that a lot of these folks are willing to, you know, come on the show and talk with us is wonderful.
Is it difficult ever having 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 cooks in the kitchen on this podcast?
Well, we've kind of got our own niches. Yeah.
Gene's a phenomenal raider. Tim and Gene do a lot of the scheduling. Linda and I do most of the back end work. And Robin's new, but she's getting involved in editing. She's getting involved in the sound engineering side of it. So net of it is we're trying to incorporate as many people as possible.
And then Cornell supports by hosting everything on a page of their site.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's also available on regular podcast platforms.
Yes. Yeah, we're on all the platforms.
So how long have you been doing this?
First episode was January 23rd of 2022. Whoa, yeah. It's 2 years.
And so let's just say 2 years from now, where would you like to see this podcast?
I think just more of the same. We're pretty pleased with what we've got. It's kind of what we were aiming for, was people coming in and talking about things that we can present. Well, I talk about my third grade questions all the time. I mean, we got these 2 PhD guys that wandered in here today and talked about spongy moth so that people understood it and didn't just say, oh, eek, eek, spongy moth, and not know a thing about it. Mm-hmm. They were describing it in a way that explained how they spent 30 years on understanding this stuff and were able to translate it to us. I think that's kind of what it is bringing it so that people can understand. I mean, you hear all the jargon. But I think reaching people where they say, oh, okay, and we've got a small enough chunk of time that we don't get listener exhaustion. Where they go, oh, yeah, blah, and because I tend to do that a lot.
But on the other hand, a podcast gives you enough time to dig deep enough that people have a better understanding than just a quick social media post or you know, a local news story.
And the show notes and the references, if anybody is that interested, they can go look mm-hmm. and get all kinds of more information that's available.
One of the things we realized, especially during the podcast, is that as master gardeners, if we gave a class, we would probably get 15, 20 people in the room. We can do a podcast, reach over 200 people a week, with so expand the audience, as well as provide maybe not as much information as you would get in person, because you can do hands-on stuff in person, but we can actually do, I think one of the educational roles of the extension is to reach as many people as possible, help everybody gain a better appreciation for the natural world.
You can hear Nature Calls, Conversations from the Hudson Valley at ccecolumbiagreen.org or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Brett Barry, and this is CatsCast, the Catskills podcast. Please subscribe on your favorite app and keep in touch at catscast.com and on Instagram at CatsCast. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
This episode is supported by Hanford Mills Museum. Explore the power of the past and learn about the ingenuity of the historic milling industry. Watch the water wheel bring a working sawmill to life. Bring a picnic to enjoy by the mill pond. For more information about scheduling a tour or about their 2024 exploration days, visit hanfordmills.org. CatsCast is supported by a generous grant from the Nicholas J. Juried Family Foundation and by listeners like you. If you'd like to make a donation, you can do so at catscast.com. Thank you.